zero.
You're on.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship you. Thank you for the cooler weather, inside and out. And we just pray that you open our hearts to hear from you today, that we would be able to serve you better. Only one thing is necessary, that is to learn from you, to be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a passage I read, and every time I think about it, I think about the people who keep things running. You know, as I was writing in my journal a few years ago, I remember sometimes I do that, and I'm looking for inspiration. I'm wanting the Lord to step in, even though a lot of times I have been honestly a bit negligent and getting in my prayer time, and Lord, what? Okay, I know I don't deserve it. Could you step in here? Give me some inspiration to pass along. And one time I was doing that, and I was also thinking about other things. My mind will wander onto different topics, as we all do, and at least everyone I've ever met. And I started thinking about my job. I was about to, the potential was there for me to get laid off, and I was thinking about, well, what am I going to do if that happens, and what about the church, and what about this, and what about that? I'm writing, and all of a sudden a passage comes to mind. It's the passage about Martha and Mary. And I'm like, well, okay, Lord, thank you, but what does that have to do with what I'm talking to you about? And, boy, then it just hit me. It has everything to do with what I'm talking about. And I just realized I had this in my notes already, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's all right. But he said, well, I'll come back to that in a second. But he dropped that in my head, and I suddenly realized, yeah, it was very relevant to the things I was thinking about. And I think it's very relevant to some of us, or to all of us in one way or another. But caused me to think about the people that we have in our lives that keep things running, that should be appreciated for what they do, as we'd be in a fix without them. I know I would. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for Priscilla. I'm so thankful for Don and for Brenda, and y'all keep the wheels on when I don't have time to think about it. And I appreciate you very much. And I'm not calling anybody a Martha here. Don't misunderstand me. But maybe I am. And maybe that's not bad. So, again, I'm getting ahead of myself. But you'll understand why I say that in a minute. But because they're gifted. They're gifted to see the need. They're gifted to see what needs done and to go and do it. They know the schedule. They anticipate needs before they arise, and they're efficient, and they're practical, and they're detail-oriented. A lot of people wish they were more like them. They can sometimes be impatient with people who are not that way. They often feel unappreciated for what they do. And I imagine Martha might have felt like that. Here I'm taking care of everything, and nobody seems to care. But we all have concerns. We've all got bills that have to be paid, work that has to be done, other obligations that must be met, be that family or church or things and people that we've committed to over the years. And all these things are important. It's not like these things are bad. They're important. But only one thing is necessary. And I guess the question would then, what do we mean by necessary? Only one thing is necessary to your life, to your eternal life. And I already shared with you a little bit about how I came to this a few years ago, but that's when the Lord kind of gave me that revelation, and it's as if I heard him quoting to me at that moment what Jesus said to Mary, to Martha rather, "Larry, Larry, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary." So let's read, starting in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now, as they were traveling along, he entered into a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part that shall not be taken from her away from her.'" Jesus is in the town here. We don't know from this passage, but we know from other places in the scripture that he would have been in the town of Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. We get that from John's accounts of Mary and Martha. Timing is not really certain. Luke's account of Jesus' travel may not have been chronological. It does not fit the events in the final visit. This has to be a separate visit than when he came after Lazarus was raised. But it is the same Mary and Martha that John talks about, where the brother, Lazarus had passed away, and Jesus came after he had passed away and raised him from the dead. Mary seems to be the more reserved of the two. It's usually Martha speaking. Mary is grieving at home until Martha calls her out. But here she's found at Jesus' feet. And in the other account, after Lazarus is raised, she is the one, or one of two, that we have in Scripture, who anointed Jesus' feet. Luke's account is a separate account with the perfume. But Martha, I think we're a little bit unfair to Martha. I once heard somebody describe somebody as having a Martha spirit. I'm like, what? That's just to me, that's crossing the line. Now here she is. She's trying to do things that need doing. It was her job as hostess. She had invited them. It was her job to see that these things were done. This would have been expected of her. And we might never have known the heart of Mary without the initiative of Martha. She, and she too believed. She's the one who said to him, when he came for Lazarus, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." That's from John 11:27. She's the practical one who practically pointed out that, by the way, you open that grave, it's going to stink. But Jesus loved his family greatly, all of them. Now, some other things to note about this setting here, coming back to our original story, it was considered an honor to host a teacher. And so Martha is honored by Jesus accepting her invitation. It would have been a large home in order to host this group of people who came in. And sitting at the feet of a teacher was the posture of a disciple. And typically, this is not something that women would have been welcome to do. And so here you also see Jesus' respect and Jesus' treatment of women as equal parts, equal partakers in the ministry. Here Mary is seated as one of his disciples. So I always ask the question, especially since we have so little record of what Jesus did. John once wrote, if everything he did was written down, the world couldn't contain the books. But we have these very small pieces, very small bits of Jesus' life and ministry. So everything that we see has an importance. It's there for some reason. There's something we need to get out of it beyond a historical fact. So why did Luke, who was guided by the Holy Spirit, think it was important that this little story got shared? In part, I think, because it highlights the nature and person of Jesus. It shows that women were welcome to follow him and to learn from him, as any man would have been. It shows how Jesus challenged Martha's expectation. Only one thing is necessary. That one thing is Jesus. That's a lesson that we all need. There's a lot of things that demand our attention. And some of them are important. Some of them are not so important. But only one thing is necessary. Jesus. Or another word you might use is discipleship. Learning to be like Jesus. Following Jesus. He delights in rewarding those who seek him. A lot of things are important in our lives, and they really are important. We're commanded to do them. Taking care of others, taking care of ourselves even. Seeing to our basic needs, seeing even to our emotional needs, seeing to our spiritual needs. One passage says, as Paul is writing, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Now, we love to quote that. There's even a song that sings that. But it's often quoted out of context. We've talked about it a little bit before. But the context involves the provisions that were sent to Paul by the church. God is responding to the generosity of the church by supplying all of their needs. Care for loved ones. It's important. It's biblical. Paul says in another place, if anyone will not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Generally, that means we've got to work, whether it's inside or outside the home. But we must consider all those things for them that we need for ourselves. They need the same things. Service to God and the church. Yes, it's important. And Martha actively engages in this. She is the quintessential example. We just read, this is actually an old note. At some point in the past we read, so then, while you have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. From Galatians 5:10. No Christian is arguing that these things are not important, though many have argued that they aren't necessary. But to argue this, to use this passage to argue that is to miss the point. But all of that is consumed. All of that really is wrapped up in this one thing. Only one thing is necessary. Be a disciple of Jesus. All this other stuff follows out of that. We become consumed with the activity above its purpose. It becomes about us instead of about Him. Tell her to help me, she says. Anxiety begins its tyranny when we begin to think that way. But John, this is an old statistics, and I don't know who this guy is. I didn't put in my notes who he is. A guy named John Elflin said that anxiety or depression had gone up from 11% in 2019 to 41% in 2021. And I imagine it hasn't gotten any better. Of course, the reaction to COVID probably had a lot to do with that. But Paul reminds us to what? Be anxious for nothing. You know what? My situation worked out. I'm able to look back on this now from a few years further. Yep, I lost that job. It went away. And yet before the severance ran out, I had another job. In the meantime, I got to write a book. Well, I lost that job too. But that left me available when Linda needed my help. And we're okay. And then I got an even better job. Still got that one, praise God. But my primary responsibility is to Jesus. And if I will stay focused on that, if I will stay focused on sitting at His feet and learning from Him, I can trust Him to take care of the rest. And that's true for every one of us in here. Only one thing is necessary. Mary at Jesus' feet pictures discipleship. from the beginning, she is devoted to Jesus absolutely and his word. She is the one that we find weeping at his tomb. And the first one to whom he reveals, no, I take that back. I'm mixing up her and Mary Magdalene. That's two different people. Excuse me. That's what I get trying to ad lib. Stick to your notes, Larry. In any case, she does represent a devotion to Jesus. And all of us, regardless of male or female, how much we have or don't have, what we're able to do, what we're not able to do, are welcome to sit at his feet and learn from him. He will not turn us away. So choose the good part, and it will not be taken from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us everything we need. Now, there will come a day when we will be able to physically fall at your feet and see you face to face. But until that day, we have your Holy Spirit to guide us, and we have your word. Lord, help us to internalize that. Help us to make it real. Help us to hear your voice and to truly become your disciples in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.